Carrying King Joseph, Part 2. We continue reading the story of Joseph in Genesis 45. Then Joseph could not restrain himself any longer before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me!" So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near, and then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, because God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. I just want to stop for a moment and quote a scripture from the book of Romans that so clearly states that our God indeed makes everything work for good to those who love Him. But it is always for His purposes, not ours. Romans 8, and it starts at verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes, because whom He foreknew, He also chose long ago to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom God predestined, these He also called, and whom He called, these He also forgave their sins, and whom He forgave, these He also made holy, glorified." Questions for discussion. Would you have responded as Joseph did, or would you have gotten even with them and punished them now that he had the chance? Is there here, this early in their meeting, any bitterness noticeable in Joseph? Or does he seem to have truly forgiven his brothers from his heart? Is that not just about impossible for a man to do? Amazingly mature? Do you believe that God planned and performed all this change in Joseph's heart for His purposes? Did Joseph have to go through so much suffering so that he might allow God to change his heart? Is Joseph proud of himself, or does he give God all the glory for what has happened in his life? Do you notice that Joseph chooses to acknowledge that this is all God's work through them all. Would you like God to use you also in a powerful manner? And will that require much change within you also? Do you think that change to our hearts comes mostly through great pain? Does God even use the evil we people do for His purposes? I want to quote here a saying by the famous and wise King Solomon from Proverbs 3, verse 5. I changed the wording a little because I believe that is what the proverb says. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In everything you do, acknowledge Him, recognize that He is doing it through you, and He shall make your path straight. He will direct your path. He will lead you. Paul also wrote in Philippians 2, verse 13, because it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Now we return to Genesis 45, starting at verse 9. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. Because there are still 5 years of famine to come. And look, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that his brothers talked with him. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house. Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants very well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan, bring your father and your households, and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded to do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them their carts, according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away. And he left, and he said to them, do not become troubled along the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told him, Joseph is still alive, and he is under king over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart skipped because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry them, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Then Israel said, It is enough. Joseph my son is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Questions to discuss. Can you see how forgiveness heals your own heart and creates a beautiful life for many? Do you think that Jacob is still angry with his sons for all the grief they caused him for so many years? Does Jesus not urge us to even forgive our enemies? We continue reading in Genesis 46. Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here I am. So God said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, because I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Then Jacob went on from Beersheba. And the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, their wives, in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their livestock and their goods which they had acquired in the land of Canaan and went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him, his sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. All the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body, besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were 2 persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. And then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel, and he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, Now let me die, because I have seen your face, because you are still alive. Then Joseph went and told Pharaoh, and said, My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they possess, have come from the land of Canaan. And indeed, they are in the land of Goshen. He took 5 of his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh, who asked them, What is your occupation? And they said, Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our father. We have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please, let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Then Pharaoh told Joseph, Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen, And if you know any competent man among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock." Then Joseph brought in his father Jacob before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh asked Jacob, "How old are you?" And Jacob answered Pharaoh, "The days of my years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their pilgrimage." So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and left him. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers, and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Rameses, as Pharaoh had told him to do. And he provided their household with bread, according to the number of their families. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions there, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "Now if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." And Joseph said, "I will do as you have said." Israel said to Joseph, "See, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers." Jacob, Israel, blessed his sons before he died. You can read that in Genesis 49. But here we will only read the part where he blesses Judah. "Judah, you are the one whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you've gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter of a king shall not depart from Judah, or a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. Binding his donkey to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk." Questions to discuss. Shiloh refers to our Savior, who was already promised to Adam when God promised that Eve's seed would crush the head of the serpent. Do you notice in this blessing of Judah that there will always be a king in his line of descendants until Shiloh comes? Now we continue reading. "Then Israel," Jacob of course, "charged them and said to them, 'I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. and there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is there were purchased from the sons of Heth. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm him. So the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days were required for him, because such are the days required for those who are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. Pharaoh said, "Go up and bury your father, as he made you swear." And so Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as all the house of Joseph, his brothers and his father's house. Only their little ones, their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great gathering. So Jacob's sons did for him just as he had commanded them, because his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us now for all the evil we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded us to tell you, 'I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.'" And Joseph wept when they spoke that way to him. Then his brothers also fell down before his face and said, "Look, we are your servants." Now here comes a most beautiful portion of the story we read together. Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. For am I in the place of God? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. As we have now finished this history of Joseph and Israel's moving into Egypt, we have read about so much bitterness, hate, and evil toward Joseph. Yet, after God healed Joseph of his own pride and arrogance, and used him for his purposes, Joseph could put it all in true perspective. "You, my brothers, meant it to hurt me out of hate. But it was all part of God's plan to save us as descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Satan had attempted to destroy Jacob's family, to prevent God's promises to Abraham from becoming fulfilled. But our God is almighty, and when He promises something, He will do it. He made sure that Israel would become as big a multitude as the stars in the heavens and as the sand on the seashore. And that in due time, His anointed one, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus, could come into the world to redeem us from the curse of sin. Oh, our Father God is so faithful. Questions to discuss. Can it be that Satan, through the famine, tried to end the line of descendants of Abraham so that God's promise of Shiloh, the Messiah, Jesus, would fail? Has Satan not already tried before to stop God's promise of Jesus coming? Can we remain bitter once we see God's plan in what has happened? Is it not true what Romans 8:28 says? That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called to fulfill His purpose. Could it be that to create beauty, suffering is necessary? Can you discuss if that is maybe true? Do Joseph's brothers remain wounded men at heart? Are Joseph's brothers still living in fear after Jacob dies? Do Joseph's brothers still think that they can manipulate Joseph in the end with an obvious lie? Does Joseph not even bless his brothers and promise continued protection after their father has been buried? Can it be that Joseph here is an early type of Jesus' character? And in what way then? End of the lesson.